This is the reading for July 10th. Job chapter 41. Can you catch the Leviathan on a fish hook or tie its tongue down with a rope? Can you put a cord through its nose or a hook in its jaw? Will it keep begging you for mercy and speak to you with gentle words? Will it make an agreement with you and let you take it as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of the Leviathan as you would a bird or put it on a leash for your girls? Will traders try to bargain with you for it? Will they divide it up among the merchants? Can you stick darts all over its skin or fill its head with fishing spears? If you put one hand on it, you will never forget the battle, and you will never do it again. There is no hope of defeating it. Just seeing it overwhelms people. No one is brave enough to make it angry. So who would be able to stand up against me? No one has ever given me anything that I must pay back, because everything under the sky belongs to me. I will speak about Leviathan's arms and legs, its great strength and well-formed body. No one can tear off its outer hide or poke through its double armor. No one can force open its great jaws. They are filled with frightening teeth. It has rows of shields on its back that are tightly sealed together. Each shield is so close to the next one that no air can go between them. They are joined strongly to one another. They hold on to each other and cannot be separated. When it snorts, flashes of light are thrown out, and its eyes look like the light at dawn. Flames blaze from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours out of its nose as if coming from a large pot over a hot fire. Its breath sets coals on fire, and flames come out of its mouth. There is great strength in its neck. People are afraid and run away. The folds of its skin are tightly joined. They are set and cannot be moved. Its chest is as hard as a rock, even as hard as a grinding stone. The powerful fear its terrible looks and draw back in fear as it moves. The sword that hits it does not hurt it, nor the arrows, darts, and spears. It treats iron as if it were straw and bronze metal as if it were rotten wood. It does not run away from arrows. Stones from slings are like chaff to it. Clubs feel like pieces of straw to it, and it laughs when they shake a spear at it. The underside of its body is like broken pieces of pottery. It leaves a trail in the mud like a threshing board. It makes the deep sea bubble like a boiling pot. It stirs up the sea like a pot of oil. When it swims, it leaves a shining path in the water that makes the sea look as if it had white hair. Nothing else on earth is equal to it. It is a creature without fear. It looks down on all those who are too proud. It is king over all proud creatures. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. When the queen of Sheba heard about Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. She had a large group of servants with her, and camels carrying spices, jewels, and much gold. When she came to Solomon, she talked with him about all she had in mind, and Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain to her. The queen of Sheba saw that Solomon was very wise. She saw the palace he had built, the food on his table, his many officers, the palace servants and their good clothes, the servants who served Solomon his wine and their good clothes. She saw the whole burnt offerings he made in the temple of the Lord. All these things amazed her. So she said to King Solomon, "What I heard in my own country about your achievements and wisdom is true. I did not believe it then, but now I have come and seen it with my own eyes. I was not told even half of your great wisdom. You are much greater than I had heard. Your men and officers are very lucky because, in always serving you, they are able to hear your wisdom. Praise the Lord your God, who was pleased to make you king. He has put you on his throne to rule for the Lord your God, because your God loves the people of Israel and supports them forever. He has made you king over them to keep justice and to rule fairly." Then she gave the king about 9,000 pounds of gold and many spices and jewels. No one had ever given such spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Hiram's men and Solomon's men brought gold from Ophir, juniper wood, and jewels. King Solomon used the juniper wood to build steps for the temple of the Lord, and the palace to make lyres and harps for the musicians. No one in Judah had ever seen such beautiful things as these. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba everything she wanted and asked for, even more than she had brought to him. Then she and her servants returned to her own country. Every year, King Solomon received about 50,000 pounds of gold. Besides that, he also received gold from traders and merchants. All the kings of Arabia and the governors of the land also brought gold and silver. King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold, each of which contained about 7.5 pounds of hammered gold. He also made 300 smaller shields of hammered gold, each of which contained about 4 pounds of gold. The king put them in the palace of the forest of Lebanon. The king built a large throne of ivory and covered it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps on it and a gold footstool. There were armrests on both sides of the chair, and each armrest had a lion beside it. 12 lions stood on the 6 steps, 1 lion at each end of each step. Nothing like this had ever been made for any other kingdom. All of Solomon's drinking cups, as well as the dishes in the palace of the forest of Lebanon, were made of pure gold. In Solomon's time, people did not think silver was valuable. King Solomon had many ships that he sent out to trade, with Hiram's men as the crews. Every 3 years the ships returned, bringing back gold, silver, ivory, apes, and baboons. King Solomon had more riches and wisdom than all the other kings on earth. All the kings of the earth wanted to see Solomon and listen to the wisdom God had given him. Year after year, everyone who came brought gifts of silver and gold, clothes, weapons, spices, horses, and mules. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and he had 12,000 horses. He kept some in special cities for the chariots, and others he kept with him in Jerusalem. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. In Jerusalem, the king made silver as common as stones and cedar trees as plentiful as the fig trees on the western hills. Solomon imported horses from Egypt and all other countries. Everything else Solomon did, from the beginning to the end, is written in the records of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer, who wrote about Jeroboam, Nebat's son. Solomon ruled in Jerusalem over all Israel for 40 years. Then Solomon died and was buried in Jerusalem, the city of David his father, and Solomon's son Rehoboam became king in his place. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all the Israelites had gone to make him king. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, was in Egypt, where he had gone to escape from King Solomon. When Jeroboam heard about Rehoboam being made king, he returned from Egypt. After the people sent for him, he and the people went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father forced us to work very hard. Now make it easy for us, and don't work us as hard as he did. Then we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Come back to me in 3 days." So the people left. King Rehoboam asked the older leaders who had advised Solomon during his lifetime, "How do you think I should answer these people?" They answered, "Be kind to these people. If you please them and give them a kind answer, they will serve you always." But Rehoboam rejected this advice. Instead, he asked the young men who had grown up with him and who served as his advisors. Rehoboam asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who said, 'Don't make us work as hard as your father did'?" The young men who had grown up with him answered, "The people said to you, 'Your father forced us to work very hard. Now make our work easier.' You should tell them, 'My little finger is bigger than my father's legs. He forced you to work hard, but I will make you work even harder. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with whips that have sharp points.'" Rehoboam had told the people, "Come back to me in 3 days." So after 3 days, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam. King Rehoboam spoke cruel words to them because he had rejected the advice of the older leaders. He followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father forced you to work hard, but I will make you work even harder. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with whips that have sharp points." So the king did not listen to the people. God caused this to happen so that the Lord could keep the promise he had made to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah, a prophet from Shiloh. When all the Israelites saw that the king refused to listen to them, they said to the king, "We have no share in David. We have no part in the son of Jesse. People of Israel, let's go to our own homes. Let David's son rule his own people." So all the Israelites went home, but Rehoboam still ruled over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. When Rehoboam sent him to the people, they threw stones at him until he died. But King Rehoboam ran to his chariot and escaped to Jerusalem. Since then, Israel has been against the family of David.
Chapter 4.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Aren't they caused by the selfish desires that fight to control you? You want what you don't have, so you commit murder. You're determined to have things, but you can't get what you want. You quarrel and fight. You don't have the things you want because you don't pray for them. When you pray for things, you don't get them because you want them for the wrong reason, for your own pleasure. You unfaithful people, don't you know that love for this evil world is hatred towards God? Whoever wants to be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. Do you think this passage means nothing? It says, the Spirit that lives in us wants us to be His own. But God shows us even more kindness. Scripture says, God opposes arrogant people, but He is kind to humble people. So place yourselves under God's authority. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Clean up your lives, you sinners, and clear your minds, you doubters. Be miserable, mourn, and cry. Turn your laughter into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the Lord's presence, that he will give you a high position. Brothers and sisters, stop slandering each other. Those who slander and judge other believers slander and judge God's teachings. If you judge God's teachings, you are no longer following them. Instead, you are judging them. There is only one teacher and judge. He is able to save or destroy you. So who are you to judge your neighbor? Pay attention to this. You're saying, today or tomorrow we will go into some city, stay there a year, conduct business, and make money. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is life? You are a mist that is seen for a moment and then disappears. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and carry out our plans. However, you brag because you're arrogant. All such bragging is evil. Whoever knows what is right but doesn't do it is sinning.